Good to see everyone out. I'd like to apologize for our parking issues out here. We're trying to make things better, and it's kind of like, I guess, anytime you do something at home, you got to go backwards a little bit to go forward. But we are thankful for what God's blessing us with. We got a new fellowship hall building coming up down here, and got a new parking lot about to be done. And so this time next week, I hope we don't have these issues. We'll have plenty of places to park. So we are thankful for that. Good to have our visitors with us this morning. Just make yourself at home. And we got us a guest preacher this morning, Brother Brock. I was thinking this morning, hadn't got to know Brock as good as I do Blake. Of course, Amberly and him, he was always around. But I remember Coach Young, when I was growing up, I was hoping he's here this morning so I could embarrass him about how old he is. But he was my math teacher when I was in the seventh grade. And if you ask him one thing he remembers about me, he'd say, I always want to take shortcuts. And I hadn't changed. Not one bit. I still like shortcuts. So, I do appreciate him coming out this morning. Appreciate his family come support him. It means a lot to you when you're a young preacher, your family being with you. So I know that. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we get started? I know we have several in the church still with flu, and we got several out working in different places this morning. So y'all remember them as they're out doing things they have to do. Do we have any prayer requests we need to remember? Miss Frieda, remember her? Jane McDaniel is going through flu the second time this year, so y'all be much in prayer for her. She's had a time. And pray that Jackie doesn't get it. He don't need it, need the flu. So, do you have any others? I know Mr. Bill started his treatments, and we've got several other people that's, of course, Kay's sister is recovering well. God's really blessed in that situation. She went back to work, so praise report right there. So, y'all remember them. Do you have anyone else? Y'all pray for our service this morning. Pray for Brock. Pray for our song service. And Brother Larry, would you take us, Lord, in prayer, please?
Stand and join us in our call to worship.
The church has been silent while the world raised its voice in loud and angry tones. They took the
all across creation, there's a rumbling in the hills as the chosen ones of God stand up to make His message known. I'm gonna shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops, tell the world around me Jesus saves. I have made my choice, gonna make a joyful noise. The world will hear Jesus saves. The world still tells us daily that God is not alive. Salvation's plan is just a fairy tale. But lies don't change the truth that Jesus died for you. And the word says His returning could happen any day. Gonna shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops, tell the world around me Jesus saves. I have made my choice, gonna make a joyful noise, the world will hear my voice, Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves.
stays. I'm gonna shout it from the housetops, proclaim it from the mountaintops, tell the world around me Jesus saves. I have made my choice, gonna make a joyful noise, the world will hear my voice, Jesus saves. The world will hear my voice, Jesus saves. The world will hear my voice, Jesus saves.
This morning.
I was feeling that breeze, singing like a song through the tone.
Sing this morning. Enjoyed that. Again, if you're visiting with us, just great to have you this morning. Coach Young finally came in. I know I'm 43 years old, but he's still Coach Young to me. Because if you called him Bart back when I was in school, you get a paddling. And I've got to, the Lord's blessed me with the opportunity to preach to a lot of the teachers I had in school. And I didn't think, which you know, you never know, and teenagers, be careful when you're in high school because you don't ever know what God's going to do with you. But I, Mr. Lover and Coach Young was probably my greatest one to get to preach a revival to. And I hated for, right in the middle of the revival, his father-in-law passed away and Mr. Lover didn't get to come but to one night of the revival, but had a whole list of messages planned for him to pay him back for all the years and all the things that they had done. And I can honestly say that all the teachers we had in school and all that, they was an inspiration on my life and part of the reason that I am who I am today. no doubt. And so, Coach Young, I was telling them that if I ask you one thing you remember me by in school, you would say, shortcut. Told you. I was seeing something on Facebook the other day that was doing something with fractions, and somebody had posted, why didn't anybody ever teach me this? And I thought about Coach Young. He knew better than teach me the shortcuts because I'd never do it the right way. But he does mean a lot to me, and I appreciate what he was to us in school. This morning, I have a special preacher, Brother Brock Young. He's what grade are you in, Brock? 11th grade at Ramblin High School, and it proves to you that Ramblin and Heflin can be in the same building. You can get along, and not everybody's bad because they're over there, over here. But I know we joke a lot about that stuff, but I'm down here by myself and feel alone sometimes with only Ramblin people down here, but they're good to us, and most everybody but Pat. But we do have a good time, and God is truly blessing us and moving in a way that we just can't believe here lately. So y'all pray for us. We need it as God's starting to do some things in exciting times. And we understand that when God begins to move, the enemy begins to try to move also. And it happens. I wish it didn't, but it's just part of it. He begins to try to move against us. So y'all pray for us and pray that we'll all be together and have everything in common, and that the reason we meet here every Sunday is to honor and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. No other reason. Amen. Not to see what we can do or what this is about. But Brother Brock, at this time, you just come on and preach what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Not sure. Am I on? Can you hear me? This week's been a crazy week. Monday I go to school wearing sweatpants and a hoodie. By Thursday and Friday I'm asking my dad when we're going to open the pool up. It's crazy to think how much things can change. And Abby came to me at school. I was headed to prayer and Bible club at break. And she asked me, she said, can you text my dad? He wants to ask you about preaching. And I was like, yeah. First preaching gig of 2018. Going to start it off great. It's going to be a wonderful thing. Just want to thank New Harmony for asking me to come. Trusting me to come. Lead the word. Show you what God has given me. I think it's going to be good if you'll just bear with me. It's going to be a little short, about 3 hours, but no, I'm just kidding with you. But I want to, I'm going to start in Luke 15, but I want to open up with a word of prayer if y'all bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you, God. God, I want to thank you for all that you've given us, God. God, just let us remember who you are and where we come from and what our identity is in you, God. God, Just let us not take this for granted, God. God, let us not take this life for granted, God. Let us use it every day to glorify you, God. God, let this today, this service be solely to glorify the name of Jesus Christ, God. God, right now, just engulf us in your presence, God. God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I'm going to be in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 32, and that's 1 through 32 is pretty lengthy. I was thinking that when I was studying. But I think we can get through it. I'm going to read about the parable of the lost sheep, or the lost coin, and the prodigal son. Amen. But we're going to look at it as a different way than probably what you've heard it. I don't know what y'all's preacher here does. No, I'm just messing. But this is a new way of me looking at it. I've heard this story many a times, but when I read it the other day for the first time in my study, something opened up to me that I haven't heard it that way when other people preached it to me. Amen. But the title of my sermon is, When You Feel Like Giving Up. What are you going to do when you feel like giving up? So verse 1 says, I'm reading out of the NLT, by the way. It says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are high and righteous and have never strayed away. Today, in my life a lot, I felt like a lost sheep. I felt like I've got out there and, you know, sheep are one of the only animals that have to have something to guide them to survive. Can't survive on their own. That's kind of like us. He gives us this Bible, but yet we try to survive on our own.
Amen.
That one lost sheep, he tries to survive on his own. But what happens when that sheep gets way out there and he looks and the other 99 ain't behind him? And he starts just to holler. I had goats for a long time. I know what they sound like. It ain't a pleasant sound. And they just start hollering. But they feel like there's nobody looking for them. But all in all, that shepherd is giving his whole heart in searching for that one lost sheep.
Amen.
But oftentimes we get a whisper in our brains, nah, he ain't looking for you. You're nothing. Why would he look for you when he's got so many other followers? Now, The next parable is the parable of the lost coin, verse 8 through 10. And it says, it's another teaching of Jesus. It says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when one sinner repents. That's crazy to think that in our lives, the dirt, just think of a floor back then, a dirt floor, and you lose a coin. It's probably going to get covered up. There's a lot of dirt in today's world.
Amen.
You're probably going to get covered up. You're probably going to look and there's not going to be any light. You're going to think, man, I'm covered in all this. But there's also one thing you can be covered in, and that's covered in God's grace. And that's a beautiful thing. But going to move on to the parable of the lost son. And this is really one that hits home. This is the longer one. This is the one we most hear about. But it says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all of his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. I'm going to stop right there because oftentimes we get materialistic things in this world, and sometimes we like to hold on to them, but it doesn't matter how long we save it and how long you hold on to it, it's not going to satisfy that void. But he wanted his right then, right there, right now. I want to go and live my life. You only live once. That's what his motto was. I'm going to go and live my life. I'm going to go do me. But then he realizes, as he's getting known, say I have $100. At first, $5 isn't much. Then $10 isn't a big deal. But when I'm down $80 and I have $20 to survive on for the rest of the month, that happens a lot to me with my allowance my father gives me. You know, you get that money and it's fresh in your account and you go buy something. You say, man, that felt good. Let's go buy something else. And then you look 3 days later and you're, oh, I got to get gas. I got to pay for this. How am I going to survive on this for the rest of the 27 days of the month? Thank gosh, February has flew by. But it says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. I'm going to use an example right here. I told Coach Bailey that he would like one of these things I'm about to reflect back on. Football is a big part of my life. And it reflects on life a lot more than you think it would. Any competition, any sport does, but this one more particularly. And in a football game, you just get pumped up. You're ready to go. You got people behind you ready to go do battle. There's no feeling like it. And oftentimes we hear somebody on Sunday, we just get riled up and we're pumped up to take on Monday. I'm going to change my life for God. That's great. But I'm going to change my life for God. Monday, Tuesday, and when I come back to church on Wednesday, I'm going to be a changed person. Everybody's going to see it. You wake up and you have that mentality Monday and you're A-OK. Everything's going great. Tuesday hits you like somebody punched you in the gut. It happens quick. Monday you can be up here, living for God, having no worries, praising Him. Tuesday comes and you can't even lift your head to look at Him.
That's right.
Tuesday comes and you don't know what happened. You don't know how you got there. You don't know why you got there. And you look at God and you say, I'm doing this for You. Why am I persecuted? I'm doing this for You. I changed my life for You. But oftentimes we find ourselves in that deep pit. And in football, you get ready to go. And there's just a certain game we had against Real Town. And they were a good team last year. And we come out, first drive, we score. And my favorite thing to watch on huddle is the reaction of everybody. I don't even like watching me. But just when we score, everybody, all my coaches are jumping up and down, pumping their fists. And you know that you did your job. We go to kick it off, and all week I was told not to kick it down the middle. I'm the kicker if you didn't come watch Ramron's football. And what do? I kicked it right down the middle. And took a play off because I thought there's four or five guys around them. Just made a good stop the week before at Gaston. And they carry it back for like a 70-something yard touchdown. And I'm thinking, good Lord, I was up here. But now I'm down here again because I got to jog over to that guy over there and tell him why I did it. On Monday when I'm up here, I don't care. Monday when I'm up here, praying's easy. Praying is easy. But Tuesday when you slipped up with that temptation, when you did what His Word tells you not to do.
Right.
And sometimes we do it and we know that we shouldn't do it.
Amen.
I find myself doing it. If I'm not preaching to anybody in here, I'm saying this to myself. Right. But we know what we've heard on Sunday and Wednesday, and we know what we've been taught. But when Tuesday comes, it's hard to jog back to the sideline and answer for what you did. In the moment, it's okay. When I'm running after that guy, I'm not thinking about what my coach is going to say to me. But after I do it, and they score, and I'm glad we got PAT because that gives them a play to kind of heat cool down a little bit. And they score, and I go back to the sideline, I go back into my prayer, and I say, what now? We punched them in the gut, but they came right back at us as hard as they could, even harder. They didn't even run a single play on offense. That's the same thing Satan will do to you today. But the one thing that I think that Coach Bailey and my coaches are strong in what they believe in is trust what you're taught, and things will be okay. Trust your rules. Trust what they've gone through with you Monday through Thursday. A lot of times we get in a game and there might be a bigger guy out there and we freak out. Or we do something totally different. It'll hurt you. A lot of times we hear on Sunday how you got to avoid the temptation, how you got to not give up, how you got to persevere and stay persistent in what you do in all your strife. And we mess up, and we say, now what? He says, back to the basics. Follow your rules. Follow what I've taught you. Have we not practiced this on Sunday and Wednesday when you came and repented to me and I told you what you could do to counter that? But sometimes we look at them like they're dumb. I've done it before a few times, not many, just a few times. But sometimes we look up at God and say, God, that's not what I want to do. And for a while, we get on our own spurt. Kind of like this guy, he got on his own spurt. And he did what he wanted to do. And for a while, it worked. For a while, it was fine. But then he realized, ooh, this ain't for me. So he says, so when he returned home to his father, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead, and now he returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son in the fields working, when he returned home, heard music and dancing in the house. He asked one of the servants what was going on, and the servant said, your brother's back, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast after my friends. Ain't that crazy how his own brother trying to knock down a blessing from him? Amen. How he changed his life, he turned it around, and his own brother is trying to take that blessing away from him. See, that's another thing we'll face, another obstacle of not to give up. When you have turned around and you did face the temptation Tuesday, you did face the temptation Wednesday, and you get your blessing and somebody says, no, why'd you get that, not me? Why do you deserve that, not me? Oftentimes there's people looking at the you in the rear view. Oftentimes you come back to school on that Monday rejuvenated and ready to go, and somebody says, well, that wasn't you last week. And that makes it a little bit harder to get through Monday and Tuesday when you're trying and somebody says, oh, man, I liked you better last week. I liked you better during football season when nothing mattered to you. So his brother's saying, he's basically saying he liked his life better and that he had done everything he could. His father had told him, but he hadn't got a blessing yet. His own brother. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found. If you look at that again, he says, everything I have is yours. Sometimes for us, that's not good enough. Everything God made in heaven is ours. Sometimes that's not good enough for us. Sometimes that's not good enough for me. Kind of like the son right here. Sometimes that's just not good enough. But on to the point of the parable, son, that I like to read about is you kind of, not his actions, not what he did, but you have to admire what the youngest son did coming back. Amen. Not admire what he did going out, but what he did coming back. He realized what he was doing was wrong. And he didn't keep going because he was too far gone. He didn't keep going into sin. Sorry, my voice cracked. But he didn't keep going into sin because he thought, I can't go back there. What will people think of me? I can't turn my life around. I found myself in that situation. That you're so low, but you realize what you're doing. You say, well, what would people think of me if I came back to there? If I came back to this point and tried to act all holy? If I came back to this point, he didn't even want to be considered his son anymore. He wanted as little as he could get from him and serve him. But his dad says, give me your nothing. You went and used all that I've given you. Give me your nothing, and I'll give you everything.
Amen.
God says, give me your nothing, and I'll give you my everything. Back to the football, I tell my coach a lot, he's just whooping me. Then you look on film, and those plays that he whooped me, I just took a play off. I just stood there and I watched him go by me. Lookout block. Hey, look out. That's what you tell your quarterback. But a lot of times we pray. Oh, we're good prayers. When somebody says to pray out loud, we get excited. We're good prayers. We pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. But then when we get done praying, there's no effort there. No effort to go. I heard this saying, it says, stop waiting on a move of God and be the move of God. Amen. We pray and pray and pray, but there's no effort there. We complain and complain and complain about how bad our life is, but we choose to stay in it. We choose to not try to do something to fix it. We complain how we're not getting any blessings, but yet we haven't picked up a Bible except for every Sunday for when the preacher preaches. We complain about how bad things are. We just don't care to fix them. We want everything done for us.
Amen.
But then when we turn our life around like the prodigal son did, we turn our life around and we realize what we've done. As it says in Matthew 11:28-29, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Another example is Isaiah 30:15. It says, only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved, in quietness and confidence in your strength. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. Your coach ain't going to give you a task that you can't handle. It might push you to the max, might push you to the limit, to what you think is your limit. But your coach, God, is not going to give you what you don't think you can handle. But the best thing that you can hear as a football player, as a baseball player, as a basketball player, is when they go and they look at that film session. When that film session is done, they say, good job. You did good. Good game. I mean, a lot of times, your coach tells you good game after a game, and they go look, and, God, that was terrible. But the thing about it is, God sees the film as it's going. A lot of times we hear that whisper in our head saying, God's seen everything you've done. And He has. But why not the last thing He saw you do is something to glorify Him instead of something to break Him down?
Amen.
That small voice in your head that says, God has seen everything that you've done, trying to break you down. But then you can say, yeah, the last thing I did was I prayed to God. I picked up my Bible. That's the last thing I've done. That's the thing I'm going to do next. That's the thing I'm going to keep doing. So when you tell me about my past, I can remind you of your future. I can tell you where you're going, and I can tell you where I'm going, for sure where I'm going.
Amen.
So today, I know this wasn't really a long one, but I think it's a good one. Today, are you going to be able, at the end of each week, and at the end of your game, your life, you're going to say, I gave it all. I didn't give up. I kept going. When it was 4th and 1, we needed to stop, I kept on going. When I was being attacked and I needed to praise you in the storm, I kept on going because I knew you was in control. I knew you'd meet me there. I gave you the effort. And when at the end of the day, is God going to be able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Good job. You did good. You glorified me. Or is it going to be those people say, man, at your funeral, man, he's a Christian guy. He's great. You get up there and God says, wow. Man, they got the wrong idea, didn't they? Yeah, you accepted me. Yeah, you're here. Man. Whew. That was a good game to some people. So So in closing this morning, are you going to be able to say that you gave everything you had? That you didn't give up? That when times got hard and Monday and Tuesday came and punched you in the gut, that you didn't give up? I hope that at the end of the day I can say I didn't give up. Y'all pray with me. The Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you, God. God, I ask that this message just resonates in them, God. God, just that it stays with them, God. God, that they hear what you have put in me to get the point across, God. God, that when things don't go their way, that they trust their rules and they trust what they're taught and they trust what your word says. That when we go and this thing called life throws things at us, and we look back to you, we turn to you in our times of despair. God, just let us not be overtaken by what we've done wrong, God. God, just let us know that it doesn't matter how far you are, where you've been, or what you've done, we can turn back to you. God, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See ya.